Today's sermon is our series on 10 checkpoints for peak performance. As we started 2020, we wanted to take a serious look at some checkpoints, and that's why we've got the mini race car here to draw our attention, just like Jesus drew attention through the use of parables in his day and time. We wanted to use a prop to draw our attention to some of the checkpoints that we normally are aware that we must make as we drive a car or travel on today's roads. And so we're in that series on looking at some specific checkpoints that we want to be aware of in terms of preparing ourselves in 2020 to be all that God wants us to be, all that God needs us to be in order to lift up His name, in order to make Him known, in order to share His love with all people that we come in contact with. And so today's is Monitoring the Gauges. That's the title for today, Monitoring the Gauges. And the scripture passage that I want to begin with is in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Now you turn there for a second, but I'm not going to get you to stand just a moment. We are going to stand for the reading of God's word in a moment. But I just wanted to take an opportunity before we start to tell one more little story about the trip that Pastor Jonathan and I and the rest of the guys took this past week. You know what? Darius shared this morning, I've already alluded to the fact that Darius shared about a devotional during our time of deacon time about God's perfect time, or we could say God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. Since God is great, He is awesome, He knows all, He's the beginning and the end, He knows exactly when He wants to place us at a particular time, at a particular moment in time and space. You see, this trip was planned as a time where Jonathan and I could annually get away, lift each other up, share some, encourage one another. We usually, a couple of my sons go with us, and we had a couple other friends go as well. And so we did that throughout the week, skied the mountains in Vermont and in Massachusetts and all of that. And there's something to be said about that because, there's something about skiing in a group. You look out for one another. You lift one another up when you fall down. You're constantly there. And so that's pretty amazing. But that wasn't what was the most amazing thing that we experienced this past week. On Thursday night, we'd already finished all of our skiing. Our legs were tired. We'd skied 4 full days. And that fourth day, we were dead to the world. God had a moment for us. And it came in the form of, we decided we'd cooked our meals and all that kind of stuff throughout the week. We were going to go out to eat at a little restaurant. So we found that we sort of agreed on a restaurant. It was called Baja Charlie's. And so we thought we're going to go get a really nice Mexican dinner and all of that and just relax and all that. But little did we know that when we arrived there, the waitress came up, we started talking. And it wasn't long before we started sharing about Jesus. And she shared that she was a born-again believer here in Massachusetts and Vermont. And I think Debbie and I have shared notes that Vermont is seemingly the most unchurched of any state in the United States. 94%. I think is what you saw, Debbie. 94% unchurched in Vermont. And here was this lady, her name was Wendy, and her brother, Chuck, they ran this restaurant. And so we began talking, and she had other customers, and I don't think they even got any refills. We talked about Jesus and lifted her up and encouraged her because she and her brother had just come to faith, and they're in the Bible, in the Word of God, and they're ministering in a town and a region and a state that does not know Jesus. And so what an amazing time. She shared some prayer requests For her children. She was so concerned because they were marrying an unbeliever, and she was concerned about being unequally yoked and all of that. So she said, so I said, can we pray for you? She said, absolutely. So right there in the middle of the restaurant, we gather around her, and she said, no, wait, I want to go get my brother. He was cooking. And so she went in, pulled him out of the restaurant, the kitchen, and we gathered around and prayed over them. That was what that trip was all about, brothers and sisters. To lift up born-again believers when no one else is around them to lift them up. To share encouragement and comfort and hope and promise of the Lord Jesus into their lives. And that was what that whole trip was about, that moment right there. Praise God. God's got moments for you too, brothers and sisters. Those kinds of moments, you got to be ready for them. You got to be willing to step in there and be the instrument that God wants you to be. God is a God who has perfect time. Even when we don't think it's perfect, God's timing is perfect. We want to be available. We want to be ready. And that's what this series is about. Because God is going to, as we sang just a few moments ago, God is going to do great and mighty things. Are you ready to be a part of that? If you are, get yourself ready. Get yourself ready, because God wants to move not only in Vermont, not only in Massachusetts, not only across our country, but He wants to move right here in our midst. You know, years ago, and I'm digressing a little bit, but that's okay, isn't it? Years ago, you know, back in my day when I was growing up, that's been a few years, you know, it used to be we lived in a Christian nation, and you didn't have to look too far to find a neighbor who was serious about their faith and worship and always, you know, with church going and all of that. Today it's pretty hard to do, even in our day. Here in North Carolina, the Bible Belt, it's sometimes hard to find people who will willingly say, I'm a born-again Christian. I am trusting in the Lord Jesus in all things. So today, I invite you to take a look. Let's monitor the gauges. Let's check the gauges. Let's see if we're ready. So hopefully you found Proverbs chapter 2. If you would stand to your feet, and let's read from the scripture. Honor the reading of God's word. This is Proverbs chapter 2, and I'm going to read the first 5 verses. We read, my son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your ear to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Pray with me. Father, as we hear you speak through this word, our ears are attentive. Lord, we desire to receive your voice, to hear your voice clearly, and then to move as faithful and ready and willing disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Use us, O God. Appoint our times. Anoint our moments so that we may be instruments, living instruments of blessing and of sharing the good news. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We all know gauges. We're driving down the road, and we've got some gauges on the instrument panel right in front of us, don't we? The minimum number of gauges that we'll find are, of course, the speedometer and the fuel gauge. There are likely some more gauges that are there as you're driving down the road, a tachometer to show you the how much speed the engine's turning, a voltmeter, maybe even oil pressure, and a temperature gauge. I don't have to tell you that those gauges are there. You know they're there. But I sometimes perhaps have to tell you, as others have to tell you, that those gauges are important. They indicate some absolutely essential information about the readiness of that car or that vehicle and what it can do and what it can't do. Those gauges might tell you if your fuel's low. Those gauges might tell you if your oil is low. Those gauges might tell you if the temperature of your vehicle, of the radiator, is too high, or things like that. And if you disregard those gauges, then I don't need to tell you that you and I are going to find ourselves stranded, perhaps on the side of a road, right? They're there to help us. They're there to assist us. And unfortunately, we often, all too often, disregard them. We don't pay attention to them and until it's a little bit too late. I don't know about you, but I've run out of gas a few times. How many of you have disregarded your gas gauge and run out of gas? How many of you will admit to that? There you go. How many of you have we looked at the oil gauge a little while at one of the earlier sermons. How many of you let your oil run too low and got into some trouble? A few of us, right. We know that. Don't check the oil pressure, and you know what that means. Don't notice the temperature gauge, and you know your radiator may blow and the engine may give out. In order to effectively operate a car, you have to monitor the gauges. Wouldn't you agree with me this morning? It's a necessary thing. Those gauges give us warning signs that we need to heed and to do something about. Speaking of warning signs, here's a little story. Maybe if I haven't already gotten your attention, maybe this one will as well. A little story. David received a parrot for his birthday. This parrot happened to be a fully grown parrot with a bad attitude, and he was very rude. Sounds like some people I know, right? David tried hard to change the bird's attitude and was constantly saying polite words and playing soft music, anything that came to his mind, but nothing ever worked. He yelled at the bird. The bird got worse. He shook the bird. The bird got madder and ruder. Finally, in a moment of desperation, David put the parrot in the freezer. I hear the gasps. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For a few moments, he heard the bird squawking. And then he heard him kicking. He heard him screaming. And then suddenly, all was quiet. All was quiet. Well, David, of course, was a bit frightened that he'd actually gone a little bit far with this thing and he'd actually hurt the bird, so he quickly opened the freezer door. The parrot calmly stepped out of the freezer and plopped up onto David's arm. And he said, the parrot spoke, "I'm sorry that I offended you with my behavior and actions. I ask for your forgiveness. I will try to check my behavior." Well, of course, David was astounded at the bird's change in attitude and was about to ask what changed him when the bird continued, "May I ask, what exactly did the chicken do?" The parrot got the message, didn't he? And he did it just in time, mind you. We heard from God's word in Proverbs just a minute ago that God's message is clear. God's promises are true. The Lord will speak to us through the Spirit of God living in us in order to guide us. He will communicate His plans and His purposes to you and me so that we will prosper. And He will also do it so that He will bless us and He will keep us and deliver us from sin. But there's one thing that we must not miss. We have to listen to His word. We have to check the gauges. We have to notice when something's not right, or something seems amiss, or our lives are not running like God wants them to, or we're not operating out of joy, out of peace, out of security, out of promise, out of power, out of authority. We've got to check and make sure that we are properly tuned to listen to the Word of God. If we don't listen to His words and to His warnings, we're going to set ourselves up for failure. God doesn't set you up for failure, brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived by that lie. God is not out to punish you because you're not being obedient. God's out to free you from your bondage when you find yourself picking yourself up off the floor, having failed or having fallen down in a miserable state. And God's going to give you and me all the warnings that we need in order to prevent ourselves from getting to that particular point. So as the pressure builds and the challenges come, we're tempted to allow our flesh to rule over our lives. Young and old alike. It's not just the youth here that are tempted. It is young and old alike. Each and every one of us are challenged by the temptations of the flesh and the delight of the eyes and all of that kind of stuff. But when that happens, when we give in to those temptations, failure will occur. God's not this magical God that prevents bad things from happening to good people. Bad things will happen to good people when they fail to heed God's warnings. But then when that happens, God in His grace and His mercy and His love will pick us right back up. And He'll set us right back on task, and He will pour out His blessings on us. God has promised in His word, "My son, my daughter, my children, if you will receive my sayings, if you will treasure my commandments, if you will make your ears attentive, and if you will incline your heart, and if you will seek after me rather than all the other things that the world is trying to compel us to seek after, if you will, then you will discern, you will hear, you will understand God's voice and God's plans and His purposes and His directions. And you will walk in His blessings." But we've got to be available. And we have got to be willing to step out in faith. God does desire to bless us. And He will bless us. But He's waiting on you and me. That's for sure. The good news is that God, because of His love and because of His abiding care for us, has not left us without warning signs. When things get out of balance or when things sort of reach a near danger level in our life. They include, one, physical. Let's see if this is working. How about this? Can you read that? There we go. They include physical. They include, two, mental, right? Point there. Now, y'all be careful, because on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights in our study, I use a whiteboard. And they get on me all the time because I can't spell. But that's all right. They know my heart. Right? They know my heart. Mental. A third one is, of course, spiritual. And a fourth is emotional. And I may have run out of room. Shunnel. There we go. Come on, Al. You can do it. Physical. Mental. Spiritual. Emotional. Those four areas are the areas that God is going to use to give you some warning signs. Me some warning signs. In fact, Luke talked about that in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. He said, when he gave testimony, that Jesus grew in four areas of his being. We hear from that verse, Jesus grew in wisdom. There's the mental. He grew in stature. That's the physical. He grew in favor with God. That's the spiritual. And in favor with man. That's the social. Okay? Now, if we're listening to those gauges, God will give us physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual alerts to warn us of impending trouble. All right? Let's see. Did that take them off? Yep, it sure did, didn't it? Those four gauges, of course, are very general. And so with just a few minutes left, I want you just to listen very quickly and we'll end up. I want to be a bit more specific. Those four areas are important. And unfortunately, I think we fail to listen to the warning signs that are going on in our bodies, physical, in our minds, mental, in our spirits, spiritual, and in our head, and that's the emotional and all of that. So may I suggest that if you really want to check the gauges, then listen and watch and take notice of these four areas. One is feelings. Listen to your feelings. Now, I know feelings are difficult, aren't they? Feelings are powerful. Anger, fear, joy, peace, happiness. There are many positive ones and there are many so-called negative feelings. From my perspective as a biblical counselor, all feelings are from God. They are warning signs, much like that big red octagonal stop sign that you run across from time to time as you're running down the road. That stop sign alerts you that there's a dangerous area ahead. And that stop sign says what? No, it doesn't. What does it say? Get ready to stop. It says stop. And then it says something else. What does it say? Look around before you proceed. How many of you obey the stop sign? Ooh, I am surprised. That's what feelings do. God gives us warning signs through your feelings. He's wanting you to stop, a full stop, to check out what's going on inside before you proceed. What do? We fly right through. You're right, Tammy. We go right through those feelings. We charge right through them. Anger, oh yeah, I'm going to let that anger rile me up and I'm going to let that anger charge me and control me and drive me. Now what God really wants to happen is for you to see I'm angry. You know, when Sean and I have a little spout, we never have any spouts, do we, honey? Yeah. When we have a little spout, we've learned a great technique, and that is to acknowledge our anger. Hey, I'm angry right now. Not you made me angry, because then I just put it all on her, didn't I? I'm angry right now. I'm going to acknowledge it. I'm going to own it. I'm angry right now. And so my responsibility in that moment is to alert her that she's not responsible for my anger. Who is? I am. And now what am I supposed to do with that anger? I'm supposed to see it for exactly what God wants me to see it as. A signpost, a warning sign, a gauge that's allowing me to see that there's something going on inside of me that's off base, that's off kilter, that's not consistent with what the Word of God wants me to live and how the Word of God wants me to live. And so I take notice of that, and then that's my responsibility to go do some work, some spiritual work, some emotional work, some intellectual work, and all of that kind of stuff. Our feelings have meaning. They're signposts. But here's that. Here's one thing I want you to hear as well. Your feelings do not define you. Your feelings do not define you. Satan wants you to believe what your emotions are telling you. I'm angry, I must be an angry person. I feel worthless, I must be a worthless person. I'm helpless and hopeless, I must be helpless and hopeless. You see, Satan's going to try to use what God has given us for our benefit, and he's going to turn it around and change it into something that puts us into bondage. And those, my brothers and sisters, are lies. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by Almighty God in His own image. We are sinners saved by grace, right? But we're saved sinners. We don't live as sinners. We live as saved sinners under the grace and mercy of God Almighty. So when we get that, we can live our lives not being propelled forward by whether I'm fearful or angry or any other powerful emotion. Rather, I can stop, pause, do my spiritual, biblical work, and then I proceed on in the power and the authority of Christ Jesus. So check your feelings. Are you listening to the lies? Are you listening to the lies that your feelings are trying to tell you? Check your feelings. Secondly, check your thoughts. Listen to what your thoughts or your mental tapes are saying. Do you find yourself repeating the same old thoughts over and over and the same old beliefs about yourself? Quite likely, those are laced with the lies of the devil. Listen to those. Don't listen to them. Listen for them and do the work of checking them out with the Word of God. Who am I? Who are you this morning? Are you worthless? Are you helpless? Are you just a worm of a sinner that's crawling on the face of the earth? No, you're not. You have been set aside for God's work. You are a child of the living God. And He has great plans for your life. And in fact, because He has great plans for you, He has filled you with His mighty Holy Spirit in order to accomplish those great plans and purposes. So check those intellectual, those reasoning, wisdom stuff that you're telling yourself, okay? The second one, of course, the third one is intellectual reasoning or wisdom. Listening, what notions, what theories, what reasons, what opinions are you using to live your life with? You can look around you and listen to the news and listen and watch the TV, and you can hear the philosophies of the world being panned out. They want you to believe this, that, and the other. And they want you and if you believe that, if you swallow that stuff hook, line, and sinker, then you are operating on shaky biblical grounds. This word is true, brothers and sisters. It will guide you. It is the inerrant, infallible word of God. There is no other truth beside of it that will guide you to live a life worthy of honoring and glorifying God, the Lord Jesus. There is no other. And the philosophies of this world say, I don't need this word and I don't need this God. I can live my life my way and I'll do it my way, and I will fill my body with things that have no business being in it. I will fill my mind with things that absolutely put us into a dark spot. I'll feel my spirit. In fact, I won't feel my spirit. You know, I'll just sort of do my thing, and I won't even take any time for God's word or for meditation or for Bible study or for devotion. And if you do that, brothers and sisters, you and I are going to be in trouble. Now, I don't have time to preach it this morning, but I invite you to go to Matthew chapter 13 and read it sometime today. This is the parable that Jesus told about the sower, where he warned of the one who builds and sows his life beside the road. He hears the word, he does not understand it, and then the devil comes and he snatches the truth from him, as well as any hope or faith or joy away from him. Jesus tells the story in that parable well about another man who sows on rocky ground. Here's the word, and he continues in the word, but no firm root or foundation of truth remains. You live your life your way. You're a believer. You honor God's word, but you're not in it. You're not studying God's word. You're not firming up your faith. You're not practicing your faith. You're not sharing. You're not stretching yourself. You're not pushing yourself to share the love of Christ Jesus. And Jesus said that when that happens, one sows on this, the difficulties and the persecutions arise, and it completely chokes off your life. The third one, he said, is one that plants along and doesn't do anything else, and it withers away and it chokes away and it dies. And then fourthly, Jesus said, there's one who sows on the good soil. And that man hears the precious word of God. That woman understands it. That child, that man, that woman commits themselves to bear fruit, and God blesses and God uses. To check to see if your intellectual understandings bear fruit, if your understandings of God, of the world, of you, of who you are consistent with the Word of God. And the last one is check the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer here sitting in this room today, if you've invited Jesus Christ to be Savior and Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit is a part of your life as well. That's a promise and the function of God. The Holy Spirit speaks into your life and mine. And as we've said in past times, He never shuts up. He's always speaking into the life of the believer, the born-again believer. Because we're new. We're a child of God. We have been forgiven, we have been filled, and we've been given a task and a plan. So listen for that precious, still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. Now and so many people come to me and say, well, I know the Holy Spirit's there, but I can't hear Him. Why can't I hear Him? And there's no easy answer to that other than you've placed some things in its way. Maybe it's sound. Maybe it's distractions. Maybe it's noise. Maybe it's the junk that's going on in your own mind and in your own heart. And so in order for you to hear that precious, still, small voice of God, push those things away. Commit yourself to hearing, to quietening, to stopping, to allowing Him to speak into your life. He will speak and He will bless. He will move and He will use you. So lastly, let me ask you three questions. Are you hearing His voice? If not, why? As a born-again believer, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ Jesus, are you hearing His voice? Now, not everyone hears Him audibly, but everyone hears Him because He will speak. He'll speak through His Word primarily. He'll speak sometimes audibly to you when need to. And He will often speak through the circumstances and the experiences that you are experiencing as you walk this life. Hear His voice. In order to hear His voice, you got to give up some distractions. The second one is listen to the warnings. Are you listening to the warnings? Are you heeding the guidance and the message of truth and of God's messages of love? And third question is, are you following His directions? Are you following His directions? Now, we're out of time, but I got a whole lot more to say. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it next Sunday. How about that? Okay? Sometimes in our Bible studies, we'll get through a little bit, and then I'll say, okay, it's time to stop. We'll hold it. You know, this is we'll hold it till next week. Now, some like that and some don't, but we're going to finish this next week. That, you know what that means, don't you? You got to be here next week to hear the rest of the story, right? All right, good. So I want to invite you as you stand to your feet, as Steve and Hilda come and play some for us. A time of invitation, a time of devotion, a time for you to get real with God, to ask some of those questions inside of your heart and your mind. Have I been checking all of the gauges, all of the signs, all of the warning signs that the Holy Spirit of God, my precious Savior and Redeemer, has given me?